two of them left.
Oh, good. Good morning, everybody. How many of you own dogs? I know you do. But I was actually brought up with cats. I loved all my cats, but for a period of 3 months, I had to look after a dog. It was right in the middle of the Negev Desert, right? So in the Bible, it's called the Wilderness of Sin, but it's just But anyway, they left me this dog for 3 months to look after. So about that big, fuzzy Jack Russell. His name was Snoopy. And after, I really don't know what I saw in cats, because a dog is so faithful, it's so loving, it's the unconditional love of a dog. I mean, anybody who's been around dogs, they know they. And this Snoopy, I'd go off for desert walks, and I'd hear this pat of tiny feet behind me, and he'd always be behind me. And sometimes he'd get tired, so I'd carry him for a while, and then he'd pat along for a little bit longer. But because of Snoopy, I just love dog kind. I love them. You know. Cats, forget cats. I've gone off cats now. But the point of this is, this was in the Negev, and the Hebrew word for dog is kelif. And there's a famous man in the Bible who's called Caleb, which comes from the word dog. And he got this name because of his incredible faithfulness to God. And if you would like to turn to Joshua 14 verse 6, just as a preamble, Joshua 14 verse 6. Now, to set the scene, the Israelites have been through the wilderness and they've come into the land. They're more or less in control now. And then Joshua 14 verse 6. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb, or the man we're talking about, son of Jephunneh and grandson of Kenaz, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when the Lord's servant Moses sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. I reported to him exactly what I thought, but my companions discouraged the people. However, I was completely loyal to the Lord my God. On that day, Moses swore this oath, 'The land your feet walked on will be a permanent inheritance for you and your descendants, because you were completely loyal to the Lord my God.' So look at me. The Lord has kept me alive as he promised. It has been 45 years since Israel wandered in the desert when the Lord made this promise to Moses. So now look at me today. I'm 85 years old. I'm still as fit to go to war now as I was when Moses sent me out. Now give me this mountain region which the Lord spoke of that day. You heard that the people of Anak are still there, and they have large fortified cities. If the Lord is with me, I can force them out as he promised.' So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. Hebron is still the inheritance of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and grandson of Kenaz, because Caleb was completely loyal to the Lord God of Israel." Now, what had he done to deserve this? Now, I think you all know the story, but we will go back to Numbers 13, verse 1. And again, to set the scene, Moses and the children of Israel had come across the Red Sea, they wandered around Sinai, and they got to Kadesh Barnea, and they were just about to enter the land of Canaan, as it was in those days. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Send men to explore Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of their ancestors' tribes. Now remember, 12 men were picked. These were probably outstanding men. They were men of courage, they were men of intelligence, they were men of endurance. They were men who could sift, you know, they were sort of, if you're going to send a reporter out to report on something, these are the, and one man for each tribe, so they must have been exceptional men. Remember that. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent these men from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And I'm going to read out their names, and I'm going to do that for a reason. I'm not going to tell you what the reason is, but I'm going to read it all out. Shammua, the son of Zakur, from the tribe of Reuben. Shaphat, son of Hori, from the tribe of Simeon. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Judah. Igal, son of Joseph, from the tribe of Issachar. Hoshea, that is Joshua, son of Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim. Palti, son of Raphu, from the tribe of Benjamin. Gadiel, son of Sodi, from the tribe of Zebulun. Gadi, son of Susi, from the tribe of Joseph, that is the tribe of Manasseh. Amiel, son of Gamali, from the tribe of Dan. Sethur, son of Michael, from the tribe of Asher. Nahbi, from son of Vophshi, from the tribe of Naphtali. Goel, son of Machi, from the tribe of Gad. Did you get all that? These are the names of the men that Moses sent to explore the land. But Moses gave Hoshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. So verse 17. Then Moses sent them to explore Canaan. He told them, go through the Negev, which is basically where they were, and then into the mountain region. Now, as most of you know, you've got Israel. It's basically a spine of mountains down the centre. You've got the coastal plain. Sorry, you're facing that way. You've got the coastal plain, and you've got the spine of mountains like that all the way up to, well, all the way up to Syria, basically. So explore that bit. Where am I? See what the land is like, and whether the people there are strong or weak, few or many. Is the land they live in good or bad? Do the cities have walls around them or not? Is the soil rich or poor? Does the land have trees or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit from the land. It was the season when the grapes were beginning to ripen. So the men explored the land from the wilderness of Tzin, which is basically my old stamping ground. It's just like the Grand Canyon. It's hauntingly beautiful. I know one of you at least has been there. And all the ibex and everything. It's amazing. Amazing country. They went through the Negev and came to Hebron, then to where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai lived. These are descendants of Anak. Hebron was built 7 years before Tsoan in Egypt. When they came to the Eshcol Valley, they cut off a branch with only one bunch of grapes on it. They carried it on a pole between two of them. And to this day, that is a symbol of the Ministry of Tourism in Israel. You've got two men with a bunch of grapes. That's a symbol of the Ministry of Tourism in Israel. They also bought some pomegranates and figs. So they called that valley Eshkol, bunch of grapes. That's what it means. Because the bunch of grapes the Israelites cut off from there. 40 days later, so it's a long trip. So basically what they were doing, they were going from the Negev all the way up to west, to Syria, and all the way down again. 40 days. 40 days later, they came back from exploring the land. They came back to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They gave their report and showed them the fruit of the land. This is what they reported to Moses. So, this, remember, these were all hand-picked, highly intelligent men. "We went to the land where you sent us. It really is a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is some of its fruit. But the people who live there are strong, and the cities have walls and are very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites and Amorites live in the mountain region. And the Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and all along the Jordan River." So all along the flat bits, you've got the Canaanites, the coastal plain, and the Jordan Valley, you've got the Canaanites. "Caleb told the people to be quiet and listen to Moses. Caleb said, 'Let's go now and take possession of the land. We should be more than able to conquer it.' But the men who had gone with him said, 'We can't attack these people. They're too strong for us.' So they began to spread an evil report among the Israelites about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored is one that devours those who live there. All the people we saw there are very tall. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak and Nephilim. We felt as small as grasshoppers, and that's how we must have looked to them.'" And Numbers 14. "Then all the people in the Israelite community raised their voices and cried out aloud all that night. They complained to Moses and Aaron, 'If only we had died in Egypt or this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land just to have us die in battle? Our wives and children will be taken as prisoners of war. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' They said to each other, 'Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Immediately, Moses and Aaron bowed with their faces touching the ground in front of the whole community of Israel assembled there. At the same time, two of those who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothes in despair. They said to the whole community of Israel, 'The land we explored is very good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. This is a land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. We will devour them like bread. They have no protection, and the Lord is with us. So don't be afraid of them.' But when the whole community of Israel talked about stoning Moses and Aaron to death, they all saw the glory of the Lord shining at the tabernacle. The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to trust me in spite of all the miraculous signs I've done among them? I will strike them with a plague. I will destroy them, and I will make you into a nation larger and stronger than they are.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'What if the Egyptians hear about it? You used your power to take these people away from them. What if the Egyptians tell the people who live in this land, Lord, they have already heard that you're with these people, that you have seen you with your own eyes, that your column of smoke stays over them, and that you go ahead of them in a column of smoke by day and in a column of fire by night? They've heard all that. But if you kill all these people at the same time, then the nations who have heard these reports about you will say, the Lord wasn't able to bring these people into the land he promised them, so he slaughtered them in the desert. So your reputation is on the line. Lord, let your power be as great as when you said, the Lord, patient, forever loving, he forgives wrongdoing and obedience. He never lets the guilty go unpunished, punishing children for their parents' sin to the third and the fourth generation. So verse 20. Oh yeah, sorry. By your great love, please forgive these people's sins as you have been forgiving them from the time they left Egypt until now. So the Lord said, I forgive them as you've asked, but as I live and as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, I solemnly swear that none of the people who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I did in Egypt and in the desert will see the land which I promised their ancestors. They have tested me now 10 times and refused to obey me. None of those who treat me with contempt will see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different attitude and has wholeheartedly followed me, I will bring him into the land he already explored. His descendants will possess it. The Amalekites and Canaanites are living in the valleys. Tomorrow you must turn around and go back to the desert and follow the road that goes to the Red Sea. So Caleb, these 12 highly trained, high picked men, 10 of them had 10 of them had seen exactly the same as the other two. They'd all seen exactly the same evidence. But yes, that the land did have strong people in there. Walled cities, it had all that. There were a lot of dangers in that land. But what the Joshua and Caleb saw was God. I mean, the God of Abraham, Isaac, he was far more powerful than these people. He was the God who created the world. And they saw that. The other 10 highly intelligent men didn't see that. I remember seeing a clip. I think you saw the same clip on YouTube. There was a picture of a lion. Anyway, he's coming at... some kind of puma or something, and he's just about to attack, I think it's a baby bear or something. I can't remember. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What was it? Was it a baby bear he was attacking? Anyway, all you saw was this lion coming up and preparing to strike, and the baby bear's crying out, you know, help, you know. And all you see is this lion backing away. And then you see that behind the baby bear you've got his mummy. So that is what Joshua and Caleb saw. They saw that Daddy was behind them. All the other ten saw was what was in front of them. They didn't see what was behind them. And that is. They also exactly the same evidence, but two of them saw that God was behind them. So going on to verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community that keeps complaining about me? I've heard the complaints the Israelites are making about me. So tell them, as I live, declares the Lord, I solemnly swear I will do everything to you that I said I would do. Your bodies will drop dead in this desert. All of you who are at least 20 years old, who were registered and listed, and there was a census just before that, and who complained about me, will die. I raised my hand and swore an oath to give you this land to live in. But none of you will enter it, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. You said your children would be taken as prisoners of war. Instead, I will bring them into the land you rejected, and they will enjoy it. However, your bodies will drop dead in this desert. Your children will be shepherds in the desert for 40 years. They will suffer for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies dead in the desert. For 40 days you explore the land. So for 40 years, 1 year for each day, you will suffer for your sins and know what it means for me to be against you. I, the Lord, have spoken. I swear I will do these things to all the people in this whole wicked community who have joined forces against me. They will meet their end in the desert. Here they will die. So the men Moses sent to explore the land died in front of the Lord from a plague. They died because they had returned and made the whole community complain about Moses by spreading evil reports about the land. Of all the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh survived. So that's the story directly from the Bible. And now there's going to be a quiz with one question. Remember, deal or no deal, there's only one question. Well, there's only one question here. Of all the men that I read out, highly intelligent, motivated men, how many do you remember?
Two.
Two. That's all I can remember, two. So, any advance on two? And why is that? Because two of them trusted God and their names have come down to us today. And the other ten got vanished from history. And that's it. We trust God against all the odds. Our names will be up in lights. If we don't, they won't. And that's it. Enjoy 2014.